Remember, we talk about the Lord saying, I am going to build my ecclesia, my church. Okay, not my temple, not my synagogue, but my ecclesia. And then we also said that ecclesia, church, and kingdom of God are two sides of the same coin. When the kingdom went, the church was built. When the church was established, the kingdom was established. Well, we already covered enough in the first two sessions. So now the question is, what are the obstacles that keep us from understanding that everybody is a minister and that ministry is a lifestyle? And a lifestyle can only be done 24/7, whether you are driving a taxi, pastoring a church, closing a deal, you are part of the ecclesia. So let me mention some obstacles. Number one, not loving what God loves the most. Do you know what God loves the most? The world. For God so loved the world that he gave the very best. Oh, let the Lord speak to us right now. Let the baptism of love for a world that is lost be imparted to you and me. You see, when we don't love the lost and we talk to them about the love of God, it's like trying to give a good kiss with bad breath. You don't notice it, but the other one notices that there is something rotting somewhere there. Also, you know, God will not entrust us the greatest sinners if you're going to chew them up. You see, if your favorite dish is barbecue lamb, he will not send you after the lost sheep. You know why? Because you're going to barbecue it. And the Lord wants it alive and kicking, you know, transformed. So number one, we must love what God loves the most. James says, cleanse your hands, all you sinners. That's what everybody sees. But also, purify your hearts. You see, it's not enough to say, I won't do it anymore. You need to get to the root cause. And you will purify your heart by doing the 40-day treatment, right? Which people have been asked to do. You will do that by picking up Bible verses and renewing your mind and quoting the scripture, because in my heart I have treasured your word so that I will not yield to sin. So number one, submit to God. Number two, resist the devil. Number three, draw near to God, because the devil is going to come swinging at you, but you are hidden in Christ. And number four, now that you're very close to the Lord, let the Lord speak to you so that you can deal with the root cause. God bless you, my friend. I pray along with Chuck and Jill and Benji and the entire team here in our studios, I pray that now the Spirit of God will come upon you. You will yield to God everything, and that the stronghold will be pulled down. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, welcome to week 5 in the School of Tyrannus. The subject is prayer evangelism as a family lifestyle. So before I introduce the panel, let me give you something to pick you up. In the book Prayer Evangelism, chapter 1, the title is What the Devil Doesn't Want You to Know. You know what the devil doesn't want you to know? That he's a loser. And there I tell the story when I felt so overwhelmed, maybe the way you feel today, tempted to quit. And then the Lord brought to my mind that scene from the movie Rocky. Rocky 2, I believe it is. And in that movie, you know, Rocky's down and so is the other guy, Apollos, and they are both down and the referee begins the count with two boxers down. But Rocky's feisty manager, Mickey, comes up and begins to shout in his ear, get up, get up, get up, you bum! And Rocky begins to register, and little by little begins to get up. Get up, you bum! And eventually he makes it, barely, when the referee counts 10. And he wins because he got up. I'll tell you, as we begin, and before I turn it over to Chuck, the Lord is telling you, if you're down, get up. Get up, you blessed one. Get up, because this is week 5. Before we go to the testimonies, bear with me for a kingdom commercial. Yes, because we have to redeem the commercials. We made the decision here at Harvest Evangelism ITN to make TESOT, the School of Transformation, totally free. Anybody can access it, anybody can benefit, and we do that because we receive by grace and we pass it on by grace to others. But that command to receive and give away by grace also applies to those that receive by grace. And you know, salvation is free, but the ministry costs money. Actually, to put the School of Tyrannos, as we used to call it, or the School of Transformation, is upwards of $100,000. It's worth the investment. And that's why I'm coming to you to give you fair warning that at the end of the program, we will give you an opportunity to make a one-time investment or an ongoing investment. But now we go to the testimonies.
Hello, everyone. This week we've been learning about listening to God's voice, and also I've been focusing on praying. And so this evening we bought this dress, and the lady who sold it to us, we asked her if she needed some prayer, and she was a bit surprised, but but she said yes, and she wanted healing from a disease that she thinks that she might have. So we prayed for her, and we felt really, really good about that. And so we felt really good about that, and because she thinks she's been hearing God's voice, and we tell her that she has.
I'm here to tell you that if God can help transform my mind, He can definitely transform yours. The words you need to be listening for are, "You can." When you realize you're a son and daughter of God, you grow firmer in your faith with God, and you realize that you are just so full of joy, and you have the fruit of the Spirit and the armor of God to share with everyone. When you realize you have the power of God in you, your expectations are way higher, and you can and will meet those expectations and even go further than them with God's help. Now I would like to share with you how God changed my life this summer. On Sunday nights, my family usually gathers to pray about the week, and during this last summer on one of those nights, let's just say there were a few thorns in my flesh that were really bothering me. So then after that, my mom suggested I get my Bible and read. And so I went to my bed, and I was like, I'll just pick a psalm, you know, psalms are good. And and so this Psalm 29, and this verse, or chapter, ladies and gentlemen, was a life-changing verse for me. But especially these two verses, verse 9 and 11. Verse 9 says, "The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. In his temple all cry glory." And then verse 11 says, "The Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace." And after that, it wasn't just something in my mind, but I felt the Holy Spirit rush from my head to my toes, and I felt like on the way out, it had grabbed everything that had been bothering me.
Do you realize that the same blood that washed your sins paid the price for your business, your school, your government to be redeemed? And when we understand that, Everything changes. And now Chuck conducted an interview with Michael Brown. Michael Brown is featured in the video, Transformation in Vallejo. Just watch how Michael caught it. You know, first, personal transformation. Then, marriage and family transformation. Then his company gets transformed, and then the city is experiencing transformation because Michael changed paradigms. Mm-hmm. And he says it very eloquently. Watch this interview.
It's a joy to be here with Michael Brown from Vallejo. Welcome, Michael.
Well, thank you, Chuck.
Michael, we have all enjoyed the Vallejo story as we've seen it on the DVD. I'd like to just play a few of clips from that video and just hear from your heart, sort of the backstory of each clip.
Michael Brown came to us, the management team, with something about transformation, and now the business belonged to God, and we were not really sure what he was talking about, but more he talked about, more we understood. And then we found ourselves praying for our drivers at the exit of the yard.
For your provision, God.
Well, Michael, that was quite a surprise for her. Tell us a little bit about the backstory of that.
Well, I had just left an Anointed for Business seminar. And I was asking God three questions. Is what I do as a businessman, does it really matter? What is kingdom business? And what did he want to do the rest of my life? And it was at that seminar that those three questions were really answered through Ed Savoso and his book, Anointed for Business. And so after that seminar, I came back home empowered and realizing that God had called me as a minister to the marketplace. And so I decided to dedicate my business to God. And I, instead of a top-down management, we came up with a team concept. And we began to apply the principles of prayer evangelism and the five paradigms. And so that changed everything as far as how we did business in the marketplace. We began to see our business as church 24/7 in the marketplace is the business of the kingdom.
Wow. Well, we've been talking about the ecclesia, church in the marketplace. We've been talking about finding purpose, understanding what my life is all about, and that first paradigm having to do with discipling nations. That's exciting. Well, let's play this clip from one of the people that was impacted by your decision. And we're going to then have you respond to that one.
I had given up on the church. And I didn't know at the time that Michael Transportation was a ministry, a business ministry. And so as I started going to Michael Transportation, he would tell me, well, look, come over here every day if you need and just sit in here and we're going to pray for you. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, James Brown was an individual that had I had met through my daughter, who was also practicing the principles of prayer evangelism as a principal at her school. He had done some work for her, and so she had introduced me to him. And I found out that he had some problems in his life, and he had some issues that he was willing to share with me, and I simply offered him prayer. And so we began to pray with him, not only for his family situation, but he also had some physical ailments that were continually getting worse and worse. And so we not only prayed once, because I let him know that he could come to my business anytime he felt like it, and we would be willing to pray with him. And so he did. Week after week, as he was struggling with his physical problems, he would come to us for consolation and prayer. One incident I recall specifically. His wife was so concerned about him that she began to give the doctor a hard time because they could not come up with an answer to what they were going to do with this growing cancer that was in his body. And so he came down and asked, please pray that my wife would have peace. It's because she's making things worse for me. It's tough enough with me trying to go through this physical challenge. But to have my wife upset is just kind of over the top. And so we did pray. And God intervened in that situation and not only calmed his wife down, but he healed him of the condition that he had. And right now, because of that prayer, his whole life has changed. He's become a believer, and he also is encouraged to. He's encouraging others at his new employment.
He's becoming a marketplace minister himself.
Right? Yes, very much so.
What an example of how the ecclesia in the marketplace met needs of someone who was really outside the church. He wasn't there in the church to be ministered to, but you were able to meet him there. What an amazing example. Now, this has gone further with the transformation team in Vallejo. Let's play this clip of you addressing the team, and then we'll come back.
And so God wants to use every one of us to transform our city. He starts, first of all, transforming you. And when God transforms you, he transforms your family. And then the next thing you know, he's transformed your community, your city, the state, and the nation. And that's just how it works. It works on the inside out. Okay.
What you have just saw in the clipping there is the fact that transformation first started with me. I was exposed to the Anointed for Business information that Ed taught at the seminar, and it touched my heart and it changed me. I went home, I shared it with my wife. It impacted my wife. I shared the books also with my two daughters. They embrace those same principles and have practiced them even today. And then again, the outgrowth was I wanted to make sure that my business also reflected the principles that I had received as an individual. And so that's why I dedicated my my business to the Lord. And then the further extension was into the community. We now meet both pastors and pulpit ministers. We meet once a month, and we invite the community and the surrounding area to a workshop that we conduct every first Saturday of each month to, again, teach these same principles, prayer evangelism and the five paradigms. We find out, we're finding that there's such a vacuum and a desire for people to want to know what to do on Monday. They got Sunday down, but they want to know, what do I do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday of my life as far as serving God? And we are answering those questions and giving them insight into how powerful prayer evangelism in the workplace, how it works, and how impactful it can be in their own lives. And again, adopting those five paradigms.
Wow. Working through in the banks of the river and bringing transformation from personal to family and then to your whole industry. And I also understand you've dedicated your city to the Lord. Vallejo, City of God, right?
And now, while the strongholds are coming down, would you join us to pull down the stronghold of financial lacking? Yes, we can do that by following biblical principles. Galatians 6:6, he or she who is being taught should share all good things with the one doing the teaching. And when you do that, and you are a giver, not just a receiver, you multiply everything. So on the TSOT homepage, that is right there in plain view, there is a button that says Donate Now. I want to invite you to do one of two things, or maybe both things. Number one, make a one-time donation. That will really encourage us and enable us to go farther, wider, and higher. And just do as God leads you. But number two, what about becoming a daily contributor? Following the principle that Paul outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where he says, I want people to set aside at the beginning of the week something according to how God has prospered them, so that no offerings will be necessary to be taken. So I'm inviting you on behalf of the TSOT team, would you set aside a certain amount that every week or every month you send it, and it could be as simple as a dollar a day. A dollar a day doesn't buy much. But I'll tell you, a dollar a day is $30 a month, is $360 a year. That will go a long way if everybody in TSOT were to subscribe to that. As I said at the beginning, salvation is free, ministry costs something. That's why Paul quoted the Lord Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where he says, those that preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel. So I invite you now. Would you join us? Go donate now and encourage us. Yes, let's pull down that stronghold. Well, now that the 10 weeks are over, you move up to an institute. Yes, if you go to our website, you know, we have 9 institutes. If you're an entrepreneur, there is a group of entrepreneurs that are internalizing the teaching and applying it. If you're an intercessor, same thing. If you're a pastor, if you are working with youth and family, that's why we call it the continuum. It's not a circle, you know, it's a spiral. Once you get there, you know, it's like graduating from junior high, and now you are in high school, and then you graduate from high school, and wow, now I'm in college. And you keep going and going and going, because the day is soon coming when the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. Amen. And until that downpour comes upon all flesh, it is you and I carrying the presence and the glory of God into our inner circle, our family, our sphere of influence, and so forth. That's why it's so important for you now to connect with an institute. You know, write back to us if you need any help. Chuck, Jill, Benji, myself, the team are eager to help you there. But right now, over 3,000 people have gone through a school of transformation in 6 continents. It's being done in Chinese, in Thai, in Spanish, in Indonesian. I'll tell you, this is an incredible crowd that is changing the world, and you are part of it. But we need to move it up to the next level, and this is where the Institute comes. And before I turn it over to Chuck and Jill and Benji, we want to thank you so much for having been part of that. And now we begin something that Chuck will explain called Encore. During the summer month in the Northern Hemisphere, you can really keep going around Jericho. You see, they have to go every day and 7 times the last day, because we need the repetition to know which way to go. And let me also say, before we get into the question and answers and the commentaries, we appreciate your partnership, what you have done by going to the website. Remember, I used example that when those 4 friends brought a paralytic person and they drilled a hole in the roof and Jesus healed the person, everybody rejoiced. And that night, people all over the region were rejoicing. But the owner of the house had to fix the roof. And that's why we need your help. We need your partnership. Okay? Would you do that before you depart from your computer, from your phone line? But yes. Chuck, back to you now.
All right. Thank you, Ed. We have had questions already about the Q4, we call it quarter 4 encore. And what that means is that we're going to be repeating the 10 weeks, the same 10 weeks. We've already received questions asking, why should I go through it again if I've already been through it? I've already had the material. And let me remind you, it's not about information. It's about impartation.
Yes.
Personally, just a little over a year ago, I was a pastor of a church, and I made the mistake of going to TESOT. I was comfortable in my ministry as a pastor, and I went through TESOT, and it impacted me just as it has many, so many of you, in an incredible way. It changed everything, and I began hungering for more, hungering to see my city transformed. And one thing led to another, then the Lord led me to move up, as Ed is saying, moving up, and now taking this job, ministering to hundreds of pastors through training and transformation principles. And it's a delight. Now, for those of you who ask, well, why should I go through it again? It's Carrie from Norway. She says right here, she just posted saying, I feel the need to do it over again. Well, we do. We need to do it over, because there are new strongholds, there are new areas of ministry that we need to keep
keep pressing on. So don't let that intimidate you. It's the same material, but you can register for it today. Registration is up. Now, the key is bringing a group. Jill has a question about, someone asked about leading a group.
Yeah, somebody was actually asking, you know, is leading a group something for everyone as we've spoken to people on the phone, and how do we really know when we're ready?
Well, the goal, the objective that we aspire to is 2 Timothy 2:2. There Paul says, "But you heard me teach in the presence of many witnesses. You teach to people who are capable of teaching others." Mm. You see, it's not until we are able to let the teaching come out of our hearts that teaching moves up to the next level. Yeah. Those children that were ministering there, you see, they minister with authority because everything their parents put inside of them, now they were able to articulate it in their own words. Mm-hmm. And they were able to see these principles work. And they work in the lives of others. Mm-hmm. So definitely, you have to put a group together. A group could be as simple as 2 people. 2 people will make a small group, but a group nonetheless. And as you begin to let the Spirit of God flow out of you, you will move up to the next level. Yes.
Yes. So get your group together and go ahead and enroll in Q4 Encore, because it's ready for you. It starts August the 7th. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have another question, and then, Benji, you have one about the families. We had a couple of posts here, one from Gordon Oakley, who was saying that he just met a pastor in the Lehigh Valley who testify to the fact of the way the spiritual climate is changing and acknowledge that that's because of what they're doing. Another woman posted and said that it really works. There was strife, problems in my neighborhood, and it has changed. Mm-hmm. Now, she said this, "I see the connection between the spiritual realm, what I've been doing and blessing, but how do I convince my friends that there's this connection?"
Well, we know from a scripture that those that do not see the light is because they are being blinded by the God of this world. Mm-hmm. So what we do then, we keep lighting fires, you know? Mm-hmm. We need to understand that the kingdom of God is not a picture, it's a movie. The kingdom of God is leaven, it's yeast. Mm-hmm. You introduce it into the dough. The dough doesn't rise immediately. It takes time.
Yes, yes.
I'll tell you, all over the world, I mean, when we launch our network, the Lord was very clear. He said, if you do this, in a matter of a few years, everybody will be talking about nations. Mm-hmm. Okay, when we did that, people were talking about cities. The idea of discipling a nation, not impacting a nation, doing a crusade, that has been going on, and that's good. But the idea that a Christian will say, I'm called to disciple a nation, mm-hmm. 9 years ago was borderline heresy. Today, people have embraced the concept. Yeah. Have they discipled a nation? Not yet, but they are on the way.
Yeah.
So then as you begin to change the spiritual climate, the first change is in your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now you believe that God can do it.
Yeah.
And you are allowing God to do it through you. But we have to overcome the fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't do it, you already failed. And I'd rather aim for a star and miss than aim at the skunk and hit. So definitely we have to do it.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
Yeah, that's good. I just had a comment, and through our interaction with all of you this round, it's been awesome to see the impact that's taken place in your lives. And we have noticed, I think, as a team, as we've been in touch, the people that have been able to get together with a group of people. I'm thinking of Maria Holstein there at New Life Church in Honolulu. There's folks in northwestern Alberta in Canada that have gotten together, a group of about 16 people. We know there's many, many other groups that have gotten together in the UK, as well as a whole group of churches have gathered together, 7 churches in Sandpoint, Idaho, and going through TSOT together. And it's just been incredible to hear the testimonies of people cross-pollinating with each other and encouraging each other. And so that's my encouragement to you as you think about getting involved in TSOT this next time. Get together, like Ed said, just one other person, two other people, but do it together as a group. And if you've gone through this one or two times, now you have an ability to encourage others and to bring others to TSOT for them to be impacted. But you will also continue to be impacted. So we just really want to encourage you to do that.
And let me mention that Chuck will be announcing this in due time via email, you know. But we are praying for 50 to 70 people that will take up this challenge. And then we will mentor them personally. And you will get all the material. You will get the leader's training manual. And you know what? In due time, you may even get the DVDs. Mm-hmm. Because we want this to be part of the Sunday school curriculum, mm-hmm. the home study group's curriculum. Okay? That's where we are aiming. Mm-hmm. But we are not there yet. We need an intermediate step. So be faithful, enroll for junior high, graduate, and then we'll talk to you when you get to high school.
That's right.
Chuck.
And we have also a couple of leaders of schools of ministry that are interested in using TSOT as a core curriculum for your school of ministry. So that's going to be exciting to see that develop. Ed, there's one more question that I have that has come in about in response to Michael Brown's testimony. You know, Michael Brown and Anthony Summers, they demonstrate what you're talking about, doing it with others and being with others in the process. And boy, those guys have fun every day of their life. Mm-hmm. But Michael explained that it was not just Sunday. It was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. How, again, that just emphasizes the need, doesn't it, about ministry as a lifestyle, mm-hmm. really taking prayer evangelism and just taking it where you go and it just being fun. It's a battle, and you know you're in the battle because you face the resistance, but you're on the winning side, and how fun is that? So once again, could you comment again how important it is to take what you're learning, continue in it, until it becomes a lifestyle?
Well, the best way to illustrate that is, do you remember when you were learning how to ride a bike? It was challenging. It was frightening. I mean, you felt, what if I cannot hang on to it? What if I fall? And probably you couldn't hang on, and you fell, and you got hurt. But you kept trying and trying until one day, without you realizing it, something clicked inside of you. And you never forgot how to ride the bike. You may be 17 or 69, you see a bike, and because something clicked inside of you, that's the tipping point that you have to get to. So don't let all the nervousness, all the fear, what if I try and I fail, keep you back from going for it. Yes. The way I learned to ride a bike, I have an uncle that was very enthusiastic, and he says, I'll push you, and boy, he pushed me. I mean, and I became so scared. And I saw this rock in the middle of the street, and I said, I'm afraid I'm going to hit it. He said, if you're afraid, you will. And I did. And I went over the handle. He said, next time, don't look at the obstacles, look at the horizon. And that's when the click happened, and I learned to ride the bike.
Yes. Wow. Great.
So receive that. That's an impartation, the impartation moment. Receive that.
So let's close with a prayer. Father God, we thank you so much that we are part of a company that have taken you up to the challenge. Yes, ask me, and I will give you nations mm-hmm. as your inheritance, and the ends of the earth as your possession. So, Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for a double, even a triple measure of your anointing mm-hmm. upon everybody right now, dear Lord, so that they will realize, as Gideon came to realize, we are mighty warriors.
Yes.
We are ready to pull down the strongholds, to destroy those monuments to failure, and to declare, for Jehovah and for ourselves, mm-hmm. the name of the Lord shall be perpetuated.
Yes.
This we pray, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Father, I pray that everybody who has received by faith, now they will add works to their faith, yes. and they will put it to work. Yes. That what they do in the next 24 hours, mm-hmm. they will do something practical, mm-hmm. rededicating themselves, rededicating their wedding rings, mm-hmm. or praying over their children, or mm-hmm. opening the door of a school or the workplace mm-hmm. to Jesus, mm-hmm. or anointing with oil the front door of the house, mm-hmm. or the door to the bedroom, or even the frying pan, so mm-hmm. that whatever the homemakers fry will be anointed. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray that now your Spirit will grab us, and we will not let us go
yes.
until we have added works mm-hmm. to our faith. This we pray
yes.
in the name that
yes.
is above all names, mm-hmm. the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And from Africa to China, from Canada to Argentina, and every island in the oceans, we shout Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.